Okay, girls, today I'm giving you the inside scoop on my favorite place to save this spring. At Ross, it's the spot to get everything you need at prices you'll love. Because when you find brand names for 20 to 60% off other retailers' prices, you'll definitely be finding your next favorite outfit and more. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on these deals on your favorite dresses and tops. And at this price, you might as well throw in a new purse or pair of shoes too. But Ross isn't just about savings, they're about giving back. This year, Ross and their customers raised over $4.1 million to support the Boys and Girls Club and local youth programs to help kids and families thrive. Seriously, just visit your local Ross and see for yourself, because I know you like to keep your closet full and your costs low. So what are you waiting for? Say yes for less at your local Ross.
One of the hardest parts of getting older is feeling like something's off in your body, but not knowing exactly what. It's not just aging, it's often your hormones too. When they fall out of balance, everything feels off. But here's the good news. This doesn't have to be the story of your next chapter. Hormone Harmony by Happy Mammoth is an herbal formula made with science-backed ingredients designed to fine-tune your hormones by balancing estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, and even stress hormones like cortisol. It helps with common issues such as hot flashes, poor sleep, low energy, bloating, and more. With over 40,000 reviews and a bottle sold every 24 seconds, the results speak for themselves. A survey found 86% of women lost weight, 77% saw an improved mood, and 100% felt like themselves again. Start your next chapter feeling balanced and in control. For a limited time, get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com with code NEXTCHAPTER at checkout. Visit happymammoth.com today and get your old self back naturally.
Welcome to the Dynasty Dugout Show, a podcast covering all things minor league baseball. Get a front row seat to the action with everything you need to know about the future stars of Major League Baseball. And now, here's your host, Chris Clegg.
It is opening day. Welcome back to the Dynasty Dugout Show. This is Chris Clegg, your host of the Dynasty Dugout Show and the founder of the DynastyDugout.com, your one-stop shop for all things Dynasty and prospects. Thanks for tuning in with us as we continue to chug through our team-by-team series as we gear up for Minor League Opening Day, which is just tomorrow on Friday, March 29th, as AAA kicks off. MLB slate starts today, which is very exciting. But for now, we have to cover a couple of more farm systems. Today's is not as intriguing as some, but the Oakland A's still have some talent in the system, and we're going to break it down. Let's go ahead and dive right in at the top with Mason Miller, who is a pretty polarizing prospect. Miller is someone that has gotten a lot of interesting reviews over the years as he broke out last year and really broke out in the AFL in 2022. And then many were thinking that he would develop into an elite superstar starter. And it looks like now that he's potentially going to be in the bullpen, which I think is probably his best fit. He had only thrown 19 innings in the minors. He had not made that many starts in the minors before coming up to the majors. He did pitch 33 innings in the majors last year with a 3.78 ERA, 38 strikeouts to 16 walks. In the minors, just 19 and a third innings. 1.86 ERA across seven starts with 50% strikeout rate, which is just silly. But that's kind of stuff you're looking at with Mason Miller. Injuries have been a significant factor in his career to this point. 2021, the most innings he has ever thrown at 98. The Athletics are going to use him in the bullpen. We'll see how long that lasts. I'm not sure if it is a long-term thing, if it's just a this-year thing. We shall see. But on the mound, it's a fastball-heavy approach. Fastball sits 98, touches triple digits, 18 inches of IVB, so a lot of ride on it. Does not miss bats at a high clip, actually, but he does get some hitters to swing under it when it's located well at the top of the zone. Miller does throw a slider and cutter. The cutter, around 94, which is a fast cutter. Slider near 86. The slider has a lot of drop and sweep. It is a very good swing and miss pitch. And Miller does throw a changeup on occasion, but it's 5% usage last season. There are injury and durability concerns, which is why I think he is best suited for the bullpen. I think he could thrive in a closer role. He had a UCL sprain last year. There are many outcomes here. It could range from a closer to a mid-rotation SP2 type starter. There's a lot that could happen with Mason Miller, but for now, I think that you're looking at a profile that he ultimately probably plays best out of the bullpen. Let's talk a little about Tyler Soderstrom, who has seemingly faded some. Yeah, his stock has taken a tumble over the last year or so. I still like Soderstrom a bit. Former first-round pick, made his debut in 2023. And while the debut was not the best, he did ultimately make strides, I thought, and got experience. He played first base, he got some time behind the dish, and he got his feet wet in the majors. You look at his AAA slash of 252, 308, 526. Probably a bit disappointing, but the numbers under the hood still look good. Got a smooth swing from the left side. The contact rates are respectable. Made contact at a 74% clip, 83% overall. I think those are respectable numbers, right in line with what he did in 2022. And it's the second straight season that he posted an average exit velocity north of 91 miles an hour, and his ninth percentile took a 2-mile-an-hour jump last year to 107.6 miles an hour, a very impressive range. Soderstrom is an aggressive hitter. He's going to chase. It's going to be part of his game. But I don't think you should write off his ability to hit just yet. We are talking about a young kid who is 22 years old and spent most of last year. He spent the entire last season as 21, actually. So way too soon to write him off. Power's the carrying tool. Questionable chase. No speed. But I do think that Soderstrom could provide value if he keeps catcher eligibility, because he's going to play first base some. He's going to DH some. And if he catches some, get a lot of plate appearances for a catcher. So I really like that profile. Keep moving forward with Denzel Clark, toolsy outfielder from Canada, fourth-round pick in 2021. He has always had some contact concerns, but the overall contact rate did jump from 63% in 2022 to 70% in 2023. With plus power and run times, there's some solid home run and stolen base upside. Injuries have limited him. He's played a total of 164 games in three pro seasons. But over that time, he's hit 28 homers. He's stolen 42 bags. I think if the swing and miss issues continue to right themselves and move in the right direction, Clark has the potential to be a solid everyday player. I think that that's still in the realm of possibility. And so I'm not writing him off yet because of the contact, especially considering he made a jump in 2023, much like this next guy did. Lawrence Butler made tremendous strides with his contact skills. It was a huge jump from 66% in 2022 to 76% in 2023. I love to see that because there's power and speed in the profile too. Butler's hit 19 homers. He stole 21 bases, but the exit velocities suggest there could be more power in the profile. He had a 90-mile-an-hour average exit velocity and a 106-mile-an-hour ninth percentile. Those are suggesting that he could get to probably 25 home runs. Even in Oakland, I think that's a real possibility. So Lawrence Butler is a fun player. He put together a really solid spring training. I think he's worked his way into a job, and if he continues to hit like this, he could be a contributor really soon. He's successful on the base paths. He stole 21 bases in 23 attempts last year. I think 2024 could be a big year of Lawrence Butler putting it all together. Speaking of breakouts, Luis Morales might be one of the more underrated arms in the minors. I know he's gotten some love on several outlets like Baseball America, which obviously pushes his stock some, but Morales might just be a guy that takes off and is one of the top pitching prospects in the game by the end of 2024. He had a good year in 2023, considering he signed internationally in January of 2023. He got a $3 million bonus. That's a pretty rare bonus for the international market for a pitcher, especially considering he was 20 years old. But that just shows the kind of talent and upside that he has. Now, he pitched in high A last year. He made it to high A by the end of the season. He had a 2.86 ERA across 44 innings with 53 strikeouts. Fastball already consistently sits 97. It's held in shorter starts, but there is some concern that the fastball could kind of, it does tail off a bit in longer starts. But I do think with time, he will be consistently sitting there. Mid to upper 90s right now, good ride. The command is inconsistent, but he'll need to improve. But he gets whiffs when it's located well. He'll throw a sweeper and a curve. Sometimes the two pitches blend. But it's a high-spinning pitch, or high-spinning pitches when he really differentiates them. A lot of movement. You know, a lot of times Morales really doesn't know where it's going to land. It's inconsistent, but it's good. You know, he's comfortable throwing it the breakers to both lefties and righties, which is good. And his changeup shows nice fade. I think the changeup has potential to be an average offering, and I think there is potential room for him to really break out. You know, the fastball, breaking balls, grayed out as plus. If the changeup is average, this is a really good arsenal we're talking about. So Luis Morales is probably somebody you should invest in now before the cost just gets absolutely out of control. Miles Naylor is another one that I absolutely love. I am very excited about his potential. Obviously, you know the name. He's the brother of Josh Naylor and Bo Naylor. Those guys are just an incredible athletic family to have the amount of MLB talent that they have. I mean, all three of these guys, two of the guys are in the MLB. Miles probably makes it. I think there's a mix here. There's pressure to perform because your two brothers were drafted in the first round and are in the majors. And on the flip side, you get to train with those guys, and it's really, really good stuff. Miles, 6'2", 195, highly athletic, good run times. He posts good exit velocities for his age. He was the 2023 Canadian Prep Player of the Year, according to PBR. And while having a strong frame, Naylor generates a lot of torque, a lot of bat speed. He registered in 2022 at a PBR Scout Day, a 96-mile-an-hour average EV and a 101 max. And that was still as a junior in high school. Those ranked at the top of his draft class. He posted a 6.7 60-yard dash, 95th percentile for his class. So solid power, solid speed. The question is, where's the contact? And I think that's a question we still need answered. But at the end of the day, Miles Naylor is somebody to certainly keep an eye on because he can move up boards pretty significantly. Much like this next guy, Steven Echevarria, another draftee from last year. At the end of the day, the A's knocked the 2023 draft out of the park. It was a great draft for them. It worked out getting Jacob Wilson at the top, a little bit of underslot, and we'll talk about him in just a moment. But I want to talk about Steven Echevarria, 17-year-old on draft day, very advanced arm. He got a $3 million bonus, which is first-round money. It was actually the biggest overslot deal in the draft when you're comparing signing bonus to slot value. It's a mid-90s fastball, topped out at 97. And for a 17-year-old, that's pretty impressive. Frame suggests room for more projection. I think there's a chance to add another tick or two to the fastball. Slider is a high-spinning pitch. Mid to low 80s, good sweeping tendencies. He throws a changeup and a curve on occasion, but Echevarria will be one that I'm watching very carefully this year. He throws strikes at a high clip. He repeats his mechanics well. Signing bonus is more indicative of a future value than the third round price tag. Like, this is a guy that the Athletics loved clearly. And Echevarria is somebody that I think should certainly be on your radar because he could take off. Speaking of the 2023 draft, Jacob Wilson, one of the more polarizing players in the 2023 draft. Wilson landed with a 6th overall pick to Oakland. He is known for his elite contact abilities, smooth glove at short. But ultimately, many have questioned, you know, the quality of contact. In college, he put up some pretty gaudy numbers at GCU, Grand Canyon University. I mean, the contact rates were absurd. 95% overall contact, 98% in zone contact. These are unheard of numbers. I mean, that's just crazy. It's absurd numbers. But the power with metal was not good. 84-mile-an-hour average exit velocity, 100-mile-an-hour ninth percentile. Those are not great. Contact skills carried right over to pro ball. He had a contact rate north of 90%. And you look at the frame, he's 6'3", 190, and you think maybe Wilson could put on some weight and add power. But at the present, you're looking at like 30 grade power, potentially room for more. This is an interesting player. There's so many mixed reviews on him. People are all over the board on Jacob Wilson. I'm I don't know. I'm pretty interested to see how this shakes out. I will certainly be keeping a close eye on the power. We know the hit tool's there. He may steal some bases. Good glove. But at the end of the day, I think we need to see more power to be excited about him as a fantasy asset. Same's probably true with this guy, Daryl Hernies, who is going to make the opening day roster with the Oakland Athletics. But Hernies is a very high field hit profile. He's one of the best pure hitters in the Athletics system, right up there with Jacob Wilson. He, interestingly enough, the contact skills, you know, 79% overall in 2023, a zone of 89%. So we're not near Jacob Wilson's levels, but, you know, it's still one of the better contact profiles. You know, actually, you look at the exit velocities, and you might expect that they are pretty poor given that he hit 9 home runs last year. But his 9th percentile exit velocity was actually above 105, which is well above average. And, you know, at the end of the day, he hits the ball on the ground too often. If he could lift, he could probably get some more home run power. But even still, he had 45 extra base hits last year, which is very encouraging. So I'm interested in Hernies. He may get a shot to play. He can play around the infield, shortstop, second, third, and that gives him a chance to play pretty regularly. So I'm investing in Daryl Hernies if I can. And I think that, you know, it's not flashy, but it is a pretty fun profile.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a 3-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Talking about fun profiles, what about these couple of arms? Roiber Salinas, he's an electric arm. He's a big boy. He throws a high 90s fastball. I mean, the interesting thing is, like, he used to sit like 98. Now he sat closer to 95 last year, which allowed him to command his pitches a little better. So I think that's an encouraging sign because he was a surefire reliever before. But he did some things in 2023 that made me think, okay, maybe he can be a starter. It's a back-end starter if he does become a starting pitcher. But fastball is good. He throws a slider and a curve, which both get whiffs. You know, the slider sitting mid-80s with sweep, the curveball showing more vertical drop, sitting in the upper 70s. He gets hitters to chase out of the zone often. I think the command will obviously be a big sticking point. If the walk rate can sit 10 to 11%, then there's a chance he can be a starter. But he ultimately has the stuff to be a high-leverage bullpen arm, much like Joe Boyle, who we have no clue who he's going to be. He is the 5th starter in Oakland. He has electric stuff, but he has zero feel for the stuff at that. The walk rate's magically improved. The command improved when he went to Oakland, and he said, I have no clue how. He came into spring. The command was good for 2 starts. He didn't walk anybody the first 2 spring outings, and then the walk rate's just ballooned again back to his normal 18-19%. When you tell me that you don't know how the command improved, it's not good. So at the end of the day, like, I wasn't fully buying into Joe Boyle. If the command can get back to being average or even slightly below average, the stuff is there. I mean, the fastball slider combo is really, really good. He gets a ton of strikeouts with both those pitches. You know, I think we need to see the improvements over a long sample to be a little more bought in. So at the moment, Joe Boyle, still a massive question mark. He may be worth the risk. You can take a shot and see where it goes. But I'm not sure I'm fully buying in. I am buying in, however, on Joey Estes. He was originally selected by the Braves in the 16th round. He was traded over in the Matt Olson deal. He jumped from double to triple A in 2023, and he made two starts in Oakland last year. Posted a 3.74 ERA across 137 minor league innings with 131 strikeouts and 43 walks. You look at the fastball, it's low to mid-90s. It's pretty boring shape, but he does get throw it in from a low vertical approach angle, which I think helps it be a little more deceptive. Slider has a nice sweeping action, low 80s. Changeup sits mid-80s with good fade. It's pretty good separation between the slider and the changeup. And he throws a shorter breaking cutter, which bridges the gap between the fastball and the slider. Ultimately, Esty's biggest strength is probably his strike-throwing ability. He posted a strike rate at 67%. Even though he doesn't miss a ton of bats, he limits hard contact well. He can pitch deep into starts due to his efficiency. And this is a starter that we're looking at the end of the day, which I am excited about. He may surpass a lot of the arms in the system just because he has such a high floor. Let's talk about a bat that made some strides, and a lot of these guys have improved a lot, and that's Colby Thomas. Thomas was a strong athlete, selected in the third round of 2022. Big power and speed, but questions kind of surrounding the hit tool. You know, last year, pro debut, put up a 286, 351, 493 slash. It came with a 67% contact rate, which is not great, but he did hit 18 homers, and he had 63 extra base hits, which is just absurd, while stealing 25 in 31 attempts. The power showing was pretty impressive, especially coming off a torn labrum. And he's one of the best athletes in Oakland's system. If the contact rates tick up a few notches, he could become one of the better prospects in the system. So watch out for Colby Thomas. I am very, very intrigued. Max Muncy, a former first rounder in the 2021 draft, hasn't really panned out. There's been questions about his contact, and ultimately, that's kind of hurt him. You look at the profile, he put up decent numbers in high A, but then he made the jump to double A, where he actually put up pretty good slash line of 302, 387, 446 across 233 plate appearances. The contact rate was below 70% for the year, but in double A, 74%. Huge progress. There were tangible changes by reducing a leg kick, a pretty big leg kick at that, and keeping things pretty simple pre-swing. The results showed. Power comes and goes. He's a decent athlete who runs well, but he does not steal all that often. I think there's some fantasy intrigued, and it's probably a little cap due to the counting stats, but if the improvements that he made are legit, then maybe Muncy does take a step forward again in 2024, and I wouldn't rule that out yet because this is a young player that's still developing and coming into his own. So don't write off Max Muncy just yet. Let's talk a catcher, Daniel Susak, who feels pretty underrated, actually, when you look at the profile. It is a better profile than I think many have given it credit for. He was a first rounder in 2022. He was a big power hitter at Arizona. In his first full pro season, he showed strong contact skills. He had a 78% contact rate, just 8 homers, though, across 466 plate appearances, The power is really limited by the fact that he put the ball on the ground at a 55% rate, which really limits his game power. Susak saw his chase rates decline in 2023 from 36% down to a league average rate, which is huge. And across 112 games between high A and double A, Susak slashed 301, 365, 428, and he showed a good arm behind the plate. Really, the biggest thing with Susak is that he just needs to lift the ball more. If he can lift it, get it in the air, becomes pretty interesting all of a sudden. And I think that, you know, with the ability at catcher, and they obviously have a good catcher behind the plate in Shea Langeliers, but I think that he could be one that could come up and potentially perform. I would not write him off just yet. Go down a little deeper in the system to a couple names that I want to talk about. Cole Miller is a former draftee this past year. Yeah, Miller has some interesting stuff. I think that when you look at Miller, you look at a profile that could really pop off is a 6'6" prep righty. He was a fourth rounder last year. He was a big body two-way guy, but he would pitch. He only is going to pitch professionally. He played both corner infield spots in high school. Standing 6'6", it's easy velocity, as you might expect. You know, he doesn't put much effort to get to the low 90s, but he can touch 96. It actually plays best down in the zone. It has a strong movement profile, more sinkerish, so throwing it down. You look at the slider sits in the mid to low 80s with shorter horizontal break, and his changeup in the low 80s with nice depth and fade when he executes the pitch. Given the frame, I think there's plenty of projection to be had, and Miller could be a solid starter long term if all pans out. But Miller will be one that I'm keeping close eyes on this year that I'm rather intrigued by. A couple others to talk about. Ryan Lasko, I mentioned this 2023 draft. It was another one. Second rounder out of Rutgers. He had a good solid college career. You look at the profile. He slashed 314, 408, 580 across 156 games with 38 homers and 35 stolen bases. That's pretty impressive. It's a strong 6 foot 190 frame. And I don't know. I think that this profile is interesting because the contact rates are good. You look at the chase rates, they're really good. But the home run output, I think, was pretty impressive despite the exit velocities. With metal, it was a 103 ninth percentile, which probably translates something to like 40 to 45 grade power and an 87 mile an hour average EV. You look and the question is, can he make enough contact? I don't know. When he came out last year against higher velocity, he struggled. He didn't face great high velocity at Rutgers, but that was the biggest struggle. And I want to see that question answered before I buy more into Ryan Lasko, because there are some interesting traits there with Lasko. Henry Bolt, he fits the mold of the Oakland high upside guys, toolsy outfielder, selected in the second round of the 2022 draft, played just 11 games professionally in 2022 before coming up last year, hitting 14 homers and stealing 32 bases while posting a slash of 257, 356, 421. There are major strikeout concerns. He struck out 33.4% of the time, and he made contact on his 61% of pitches, which is a pretty scary number. Flashes above average exit velocities, has plus or better speed. He's going to have to improve on the contact rates to allow the skills to play up to their full potential. But if he does, the power and speed is really, really interesting. So watch out for Henry Bolt. Intriguing upside, still some question marks. A couple other names to talk about. Ryan Cusick has fallen out of favor, but he was a former first rounder to Atlanta out of Wake Forest, traded over to Oakland, has not really panned out, but maybe there's some intrigued. Mitch Spence is one that I would keep an eye on. He is one that came over in the Rule 5 draft from the Yankees, and I look at Spence, and I think there's a chance that he could get starts in this rotation this year. He's going to start probably in a long relief role, but Spence is pretty interesting, and he's one that could really thrive as a starter in Oakland. Good ballpark to pitch in. I like the stuff there. Brett Harris is another one to hit on. A lot of similarities to Hernandez, who I talked about, having really good contact, minimal power. The exit velocities are pretty pedestrian. I look at this profile and think, okay, maybe Harris is someone that you should consider just looking at in a deep league. Not a flashy guy, but he may be a utility type that could get 300 to 400 plate appearances a year if all works out. Freddie Tarnick, another one of the pieces that came to Oakland in the Sean Murphy trade, really good in Atlanta's farm in 2021 and 2022. He made a debut in Atlanta in 2022, but his performance suggests that he is a higher floor kind of arm who throws enough strikes. Fastball, the arsenal is just kind of average at best. Fastball sits 93, decent life. Changeup is his best secondary. It tunnels well, late drop and fade in the mid-80s. And Tarnick has a shorter breaking slider and a curve sitting in the mid and lower 80s, respectively. Doesn't get a ton of whiffs. Tarnick is probably a long reliever long-term, but somebody just to watch out for and keep an eye on. Clark Elliott's another name to know. Another outfielder in the system that, has some tools that, if he puts it together, could be a really fun player. Last year, he was kind of limited to action just because of some injuries, but the results were not great either. So I think if Elliott can show some bounce back this year, he's a former second rounder, then he could have his stock kind of built back up a bit. Brennan Malone, another one to keep an eye on. He is a super under radar prospect. Only super familiar with him because he's from the University of South Carolina, but he was a sixth rounder in the 2022 draft. And I think that Malone is one that could really take some steps forward He had a good season last year between single A and high A, hit 285, 398, 488 with 17 home runs. So Malone, a deeper league prospect to watch out for that could move quickly. If you want a reliever who could pitch in the back end of a bullpen pretty soon, it's Jack Perkins, who I saw in the AFL and was absolutely dominant. He had a really good year in the AFL especially. The results were mixed last year, especially going to double A as a starter, you know, last year. But I think Perkins is a reliever through and through. We saw what he could do as a reliever in the AFL. He did not allow a run in 12 and a third innings, and he struck out 15. He issued six walks. That's kind of been the concern, is the walk rate. But you look at Perkins, he's a big fastball-throwing right-handed pitcher. I want to invest in that profile if you like relievers in a dynasty league that could help you out down the road. I think that's going to wrap us up. The A system has some talent. It's got a lot of upside shots to take. Will they all pan out? We'll see. But I'm at least intrigued to see where some of these guys go. There are some. This is a solid mix, actually. You have the high upside guys. You have the higher floor guys like Joey Estes. And then you have like a Daryl Hernize, Brett Harris, like the high floor. But at the end of the day, if some of these high upside guys hit, then Oakland could be in business. Enjoy your opening day. Hope you have a great season this year. If you're playing fantasy, best of luck there. If not, be sure to check us out every day. We're going to be breaking down everything that happens in the minor leagues that you need to know. And that way you can be on top of things for your dynasty leagues or just general prospect knowledge. But baseball's back. I am thrilled. I hope you are too. Enjoy opening day and spread kindness to everyone around you.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Big shout out to you for making it through the hectic holiday season. This new year, get clean, quality, pregnancy nutrient support off your to-do list, including Ritual's best-selling essential prenatal multivitamin, designed with 12 traceable key ingredients to support a healthy pregnancy. With big changes coming up, take the small steps now and start today with 30% off a three-month supply at ritual.com/podcast. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.